Did the Patriots' backfield situation just get muddier or clearer? Can you build a dynasty juggernaut centered around running backs? And how did those tight ends finish in the FFPC in 2016? Plus 2016 Fantasy Football Players Championship Dynasty 750, number 24 champion Darren Liebrens drops in to talk about how he went back-to-back in one dynasty league in the FFPC before following up with another championship this past season. We've got a great show for you. Dave Gerzak is here. I'm Eric Balkman. Stick around. Your High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour starts now.
Bunches and bunches, punches thrown into your frontless. Oodles and noodles, pain bullets that suck as noodles. Last album voodoo, prove that we fucking brutal. I'm talking crazy, half past the clock is cuckoo. You rappers you, baby, just take your boo-boo. I'm talking brutal, man.
Broadcast live and heard around the world, you are now listening to the most entertaining hour of radio on the planet. It's the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com. With your hosts, Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak. The High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour is your home for football analysis from the best fantasy players in the world. And now, because no one else was available, here are Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak.
We run a brand with a structure, the number one commitment. It's all a joke between Monk and Drax and the carbon fitted.
Thanks a lot, Rob. Greetings and salutations, all you Balkaholics and Gerzak and addicts. Welcome to the latest episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour, presented by MyFFPC.com, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm your slightly above average host, Eric Balkman. My co-host is the patron saint of fantasy football, the Dizzle, Dave Gerzak. Coming up on tonight's show, how are the targets being divvied up in Chicago, and how did the tight ends finish in the tight end premium scoring of the FFPC last season, plus 750. FFPC number 24 champ Darren Liebrens shares his thoughts on Corey Davis, Mike Williams, Latavius Murray, Brandon Cooks, and much more. Shout out to the chat room right now. Post any questions y'all might have in there if you want to connect with us on Twitter. We are at HSFFBauer, at Eric Balkman, at David Gerzak. You can post on our Facebook page, Facebook.com/HSFFHour. 347-426-3682. That's 347-GAME-OVA if you want to give us a call and chat with us tonight. HighStakesFantasyFootball@gmail.com is the email address that our producer and mutual friend Rob, as well as our audio engineer Bryce, will be checking tonight, getting those emails to us and for Darren tonight. Now is the time to get those questions and tweets into us. Fantasy feedback segment will be later on in the show, so we'll get to that tonight. Dave, we're watching the NCAA tournament tonight. I didn't even bring this up to you before we went on, but are you familiar with the Holy Cross tournament that takes place in Little Chute every year?
I am not.
Features many college basketball, former D1 athletes, and I'm actually on a team with our good friend Butch this year.
Okay.
I believe we play in the first round some guys that are playing in the tournament right now.
This tournament?
This tournament, the NCAA tournament.
Like this one right now?
Yes, this one right now.
Are they legally allowed to play in your little junky one?
Because of when it starts, these guys will have run out of eligibility, the guys that are playing. So they will be playing in the little junky one against us because they will not have...
How do they get from there to your tournament?
Well, the ones that are playing are in Wisconsin. They're from Wisconsin. So it's not like they're coming from all over the country.
When does this tournament start?
The first weekend is in 2 weeks, and then the second weekend is 2 weeks after that.
What if these guys move on to, like, the big thing?
Those guys, their teams are not scheduled to play the first weekend. So the first weekend that their teams are scheduled to play, the tournament will be over. There will be no basketball for them.
It's too confusing. Let's move on.
All right, moving on.
Don't really care.
How was your St. Patrick's Day? Good?
Yeah,
exciting?
Fun. Yeah.
It's not bad. It's going all right. We got a lot of football to get to tonight.
Going all right. It makes it seem like you have a whole night planned after.
Oh, it's going to be great. It's St. Patrick's Day. It doesn't really start till 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, where are you going?
That's how the Irish did it.
Yeah.
They would roll over in wake up at 8 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
have a potato and some corned beef hash,
right.
and then start pounding Guinness till the wee hours of the morning.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really have any plans. The 2017 Football Guys Players Championship is live. Sign up for your leagues at myffpc.com.
Kicking just things.
Just opened, yeah. Sunday, June 5th is the first day that you can sign up. You can sign up now, but that is the first draft. Sunday, June 5th. So that'll be very exciting. Dynasty Orphans, I noticed there's, I think there's three or four of them left at on the forums at myffpc.com. Dynasty Startups at all levels, including, Dave, a $77 level that is new with the FFPC this year. You can sign up for $77 Dynasty Leagues. Great if you want to try things out and then manage that team to dominance. And once you know you can do that, just go right up to the 2500 level. I think that's the natural progression.
Absolutely.
DE's Classics and Superflexes, all at myffpc.com, filling every day. Thanks to Football Guys and to Rob for tonight's rundown. The Patriots have signed running back Rex Burkhead. $3.15 million is what the Patriots will be paying him for this first year. He's obviously a good receiver out of the backfield, very good on special teams, can pick up the blitz as well. Dave, does this signal that LeGarrette Blount's days in New England are over officially?
It actually seems like it, given the money that they paid him.
Now, here's the situation with the Patriots running backs. You have James White, you have Deion Lewis, you have Rex Burkhead, you have Corey Dillon, of course, is back there, John Stephens.
Very funny.
A lot of Patriots running backs. A lot of cooks in that kitchen, man. This, to me, this just makes this situation, especially as we read reports this week saying that the Patriots really want to work Rex Burkhead into the offense, make him a big part of it. This, to me, is just like, oh, perfect. I don't have to worry about the Patriots running backs at all because I won't be drafting them. I can't even make a case for it this year, even if you get a deal on them.
Yeah, you know, you can do that. Just wait and see what happens.
So it's still a potential that if one of these three is floating around late in your draft, you might look at grabbing one of them.
I mean, the offense is so good this year, you always have to keep those guys in mind, even though it's annoying.
You would need an injury, to me, in order for any of these guys to make a difference.
Why?
And even then.
Why?
Because there's three of them, and it's not like they have nobody to throw to either. I mean, there's so many weapons.
So you think that there will be no clarification and no changes whatsoever?
That's exactly what I think.
Well, then in that case, fine.
Yeah, I'm avoiding. But we'll see what happens, like you said. The Seattle Seahawks, oh, man, pour one out for my buddy Eddie Lacy.
I got an email about that.
About Eddie Lacy?
Yeah, can I read it on the air?
Well, let me just read the news, and then you can read the email.
Yeah.
1 year, $3 million deals. Seattle not trusting C.J. Procise and Thomas Rawls to carry the load. Lacy reportedly weighed 267 pounds. Wow. On a recent visit to either Seattle, Minnesota, or Green Bay. We don't know which one it was. So the fact that Seattle's counting on him to contribute consistently is a little bit of a leap of faith. The Seahawks line, obviously, also a big question mark. They did sign Luke Jokel to play guard for them. But Lacy, going to the Seattle Seahawks. Read the email, and then we'll talk about the analysis.
Dave, didn't I read that Eric drafted a defensive tackle from the Seahawks in a Kentucky Dynasty League? A 267-pound Eddie Lacy? I guess this begs the question going forward. Will Lacy be listed as a running back in the future or a defensive lineman? Sorry, tax season is making me daffy. Danny Mueller.
I was going to say Danny Mueller. That's actually incorrect.
Ha ha.
That is
bulky.
He is 100% incorrect. I did not draft Eddie Lacy in a Kentucky Dynasty League.
Okay, Leroy or Kurt did?
No.
Who did?
No, I did draft him in two Kentucky Dynasty Leagues. So I have him in both. He's my number two running back in one. He's my number three running back in the other. You know what else?
Over one quarter of a ton worth of Eddie Lacy in those two Dynasty Leagues.
That's just more fantasy value. The other thing I was going to say was I was going through my CBS Sports feed, and I am not kidding when I say this. One of the headlines after Lacy had signed, written by one of their fantasy writers to CBS Sports, way too early to call Lacy a fantasy stud in Seattle. I'm like, who was calling him a stud?
Yeah.
Who was like, where is this coming from? Okay.
Way too early to call him a roster lock.
It's incredible. So, you know, we look at this, they're paying him to be the starter. Okay. Field Yates actually tweeted this out at Field Yates on Twitter. You can check out the weight performance levels whatever you call it when you trigger something in a contract, you trigger a performance bonus. So he has there's the list. He's got to get down to 260 at this point, 255 at this point.
That's a performance bonus to get down to a certain.
Yeah, and then he gets, I don't know, $55,000 a week for every week he's at 245, which I guess is what Seattle wants him to play.
Okay.
Play Matt. I don't even think I should ask you this, but you really don't have any interest in Lacy this year, especially with Rawls and Procise there.
I have no interest in Rawls, really. I kind of interested in Procise if he drops far enough down. I think he's still going to be the third down back, and he's going to get some action there. Lacy was not really doing much on third downs in Green Bay, and I don't anticipate that changing at all. And even Lacy, as much as I dog on him, I'd take a look at him.
I was so frustrated. Yeah, you know, we were working together when we found out the news that Lacey got signed with Seattle.
You were off for the whole rest of the day. We were there, but you were mentally checked out.
It was a double gut punch because I believed he was going to re-sign with Green Bay, and then I also believed that that's where his best fantasy value was. And now he goes to a place with Rawls and Procise. It's tough for me to get on board with something like that. Now, I didn't, you know, we haven't really had enough draft data since, you know, with the FFPC since Lacey signed with Seattle to know where he's going in draft. So, well, I think next week will be a better indicator of how high stakes players are valuing him right now. But man, he's tough to love, man. It's even for me, who's had no problem loving him in the past. He is tough to love right now in Seattle. The Rams, we glossed over this last week. The Rams signed wide receiver Robert Woods to a 5-year, $39 million deal, $15 million guaranteed. He comes to an offense that, well, it's a new offense, but it's a team that helped Kenny Britt get more than 1,000 yards last year. Following the money on this, Dave, no Kenny Britt. I mean, obviously, Tavon Austin's still there, and Brian Quick is still, you know, quicking it up. But you look at Robert Woods being paid as the number one receiver in Sean McVay's offense. I've heard nothing but good things about McVay and how he's a offensive genius. He's going to make this offense go. He's going to get Gurley going. Robert Woods, I think we're totally underrating him given how much money the Rams have sunk into him.
You might be right. I mean, instinctively, I was kind of down on it because Woods, I don't think he's all that talented. The quarterback play of the Rams is not going to be good.
Right.
And they're not going to score a lot of points. So all those things are negatives. But, I mean, the fact that they did pay him that much money, he'll be the number one. Tavon Austin doesn't command the targets, it doesn't seem like. He's getting paid incredible money.
Right, yeah.
I don't know, maybe. I mean, maybe I'll take a look at him. If he gets cheap enough, I mean, he's got to be super.
I think he's super there. Cheap right now.
I would assume so. Yeah. I mean, it's Robert Woods. He's not a pedigreed name. No one cares. Even in L.A. where he went, you know, went back to California.
Right, yeah. You look at the other pass catchers in that offense, and Tyler Higbee is expected to take a step forward this year, the tight end who enters his sophomore campaign with the Rams.
I didn't think he showed enough as a rookie to be – I don't think Higbee's going to be amount to much.
Okay, so that's even more fuel to the Robert Woods fire. And then you have Todd Gurley, who really doesn't catch passes. You know, he's not – and they just signed Lance Dunbar.
He does catch some passes,
but they just signed Lance Dunbar, whose forte in Dallas was catching passes.
Right.
So you got to believe that he's going to be heavily involved in third downs in Los Angeles. And let's face it, there's going to be a lot of third downs for the Rams this year. So you look at how this offense is structured. I think Woods is being completely undervalued right now. And I bet he ends up being on a lot of my teams next year. I've always loved drafting these number one receivers that are essentially free in drafts, playing on really bad offenses. I've always, because the targets are always there every single year. So, and I think Woods joins that club this year.
Probably right.
The Bears have signed Kendall Wright to a 1-year, $4 million deal, and Marcus Wheaton, still tooling around, 2 years, $11 million, $5 million guaranteed.
Good for Wheaton, man. He sucks, and he's getting good money.
Yeah, and you look at what he did in a good offense last year, and now he's got Mike Glennon tossing him the rock this year. So this is the point I wanted to bring up with the Bears.
Let me just interrupt you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Glennon to Wheaton, you're going to hear that all year long. That's the biggest touchdown combination. 15 touchdowns. You heard it here first.
Do you want to put five on that?
Hell no.
I think.
Hell no, I do not.
If you gave me odds, I might take the under on 15 total touchdowns with Mike Glennon.
No kidding.
So you look at this offense now. Alshon Jeffrey is in Philly. You have Kevin White, who they're hoping is going to be the number one. And Cam Meredith was really ostensibly the number one receiver in that offense last year.
He was very good.
They add Kendall Wright. They add Marcus Wheaton. Zach Miller is still there. Mm-hmm. Jordan Howard, was a part of the passing game last year. This might be another offense where it's just like it's not worth drafting Meredith and White early. Maybe it's worth drafting one of these other receivers later on.
I don't think Meredith and White are going to be all that expensive. I think people are going to discount Glennon as they maybe should, but you don't know for sure. I mean, he might end up being all right.
Yeah.
I think the Bears' offense will get pretty heavily discounted because, you know, for some reason because Cutler left. Cutler was terrible anyway. I mean, how much worse can Glennon be than Cutler? I don't think it'll be that much worse.
Yeah, it really can't be. And you think about what Matt Barkley was able to do last year. He had a couple of really good games, too, and it's Matt Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that you look at
I'm looking at White. I'll look at Meredith.
These are guys that I would consider in DEs. It's tough for me to get on board with them in regular redraft classic formats. One other thing I want to bring up. I mean, we just talked about Kenny Britt real quick, and we have
Why are we talking about more Kenny Britt?
Well, because I want to bring this up just as a sort of an all-encompassing Cleveland Browns offensive situation. You look at what
former Ram and now a current pro. Why are we always talking about crappy teams?
Because that's where the league winners are. Jordan Howard, crappy team last year, came out of nowhere, helped you win leagues.
I feel like there's like 7 or 8 teams that we just don't talk about ever that you must like.
Have, like who?
Like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, like Atlanta, we don't talk about them a whole lot. But what is there to say about Julio Jones and Devontae Freeman that we don't touch on every week, or that you know people don't? Oh yeah, they're good. Moving on. I'd rather talk about what the Browns did. They signed Kenny Britt, but they also signed 3 big-time free agent linemen, okay? And I wonder if they're almost trying to, you know, build this, like, sort of ground-and-pound team where Isaiah Crowell is going to be a bigger part of this offense than we're really giving him credit for. Duke Johnson kind of flamed out last year. They placed a second-round tender on Crowell. Maybe Crowell is a guy that fantasy owners need to be paying attention to.
Yes, you know, and that's I'm really glad you brought that up because I've been trying to acquire – I looked up Crowell for some reason – and I haven't been caring to him. I never started him ever. Not because my team is so amazing or anything like that. I just, and, you know, it never occurred to me like, oh, I should be starting this guy. He was the RB13 last year.
Yeah, it's insane.
It is insane. You know where he's being drafted this year?
Like RB25.
31.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, on the FF calculator, RB31.
Yeah.
And they like him, second-round tender.
Yeah.
So I've been offering, like, second-round rookie picks all around all my dynasty leagues to get Crowell. I only own him in the one league.
You didn't offer that to me in Carrington?
I have him in Carrington.
Oh, because you're trying to acquire
him.
I'm sorry.
To get him.
Yeah,
I got you.
Yeah.
I offered in every league, and no one was selling him to me.
Are they like not responding or rejecting?
Well, a couple haven't responded. But, I mean, like, you know, mid-seconds.
Yeah.
And these guys, and they put it this way,
because they know, because they're on the offensive lineman thing.
And if I try to sell Crowell for a mid second in Carrington, no one would buy it. It's like I can't sell him for what I want to buy him.
I might consider him. I have the 204.
Well, I really don't want to sell him. But I'm just my point being.
That's a problem.
I had him in all these other leagues. None of these clowns want to buy him, but they don't want to sell him.
Yeah.
That's the endowment effect. That's what you're talking about.
Right. Okay.
I'm pissed off.
More.
I'm glad you're out the Browns ball. Good job.
Yeah, listen, sun shines on, you know what the old saying is. Aunt Jemima in the chat room. Talk about the Niners next. Hit them all the bad teams he wants to get tough to. And, of course, Wayne Ellis wants to hear more on Torrey Smith.
You know, all about Torrey Smith.
Let me tell you.
Will he have 500 yards this year?
Let me tell you something about Torrey Smith. I actually found out that I have him on my Carrington Dynasty team, too. He was another one of my late-round pickups, you know, that like, oh, just see where he ends in free agency.
Yeah.
So he will be one of my first cuts as we
cut
down.
One of the first guys you put out as trade bait?
No, I don't do that. You know, I was just listening to a fantasy baseball podcast today, and these guys are complaining about in their keeper leagues. Like, when they, like 2 weeks before keepers are due, everybody puts on the block all the guys they're not going to keep, like, we'll let go for right price or whatever.
So
it's just like,
right?
It was hilarious. We have more hilarious stuff coming up on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour here. I'm Eric Balkman. He's Dave Gerzak. When we come back from our break here, we're going to talk to Darren Liebrens, the 750 FFPC Dynasty number 24 champ from last season. We'll talk about his third FFPC Dynasty title that he won this past year. You're listening to the HSFF Hour on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour rolls on here. A happy St. Patrick's Day weekend to everybody who is listening. By the way, as long as I'm thinking about it right now, Dave, you'll appreciate this. We're on the move with Fantasy Sports Radio Network once again. We have been moved up to Saturday afternoons, so it's a little bit better of a time slot for us. Apparently, the 4 or 5 shows or whatever they heard, since they switched us to prime time on Saturday nights, it was enough to bump us up to Saturday afternoons.
Oh, the afternoon guys quit.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. But at 4 p.m. Eastern time, Saturday afternoons, you can catch us on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And thank you for listening.
We'll be moving
if you're
to
listening
drive
to the
time
Fantasy Sports Radio Network right now. Yeah, drive time by then. That
we just
would be
watched
very exciting.
Private Parts. Howard Stern before this, we were watching. It was awesome.
I just saw the end of it.
Paul Giamatti was great.
He was fantastic.
Pig vomit.
His performance in that movie, Dave, was almost as good as our guest performance was this past year in the 750 number 24. I want to bring him in now. He's been playing fantasy football for 3 decades, started playing high stakes fantasy football 5 years ago in 2012 when he joined the FFPC startup 750 number 6. Won back-to-back titles in that league, 2012 and 2013. And last year he joined the startup 750 number 24, where he was able to bring home another title this past year. Please welcome into the show Darren Liebrens. Welcome to the show, Darren. What's up, man?
Hey, not too much. How are you guys doing?
Doing
awesome.
It's excellent. It's St. Patrick's Day. It's a celebratory weekend. And once again, For I don't know what it is, Dave, the 276th straight week, we have somebody joining us on the show that is much smarter than us, which I always appreciate when I can pick the brain of a fan.
An ass kisser.
No, I'm not an ass kisser. I'm a truth teller. Darren, before we get into fantasy football, tell the listeners what you do for a living when you're not playing high-stakes dynasty fantasy football.
I'm a warehouse manager for a major grocery chain, and my spare time, I spend a lot of time with my 8-year-old son, lots of baseball in the summertime with him, and watching baseball games and doing that type of stuff. But pretty boring life other than that, but he keeps me pretty busy and throw a little fantasy in there, and it takes up a lot of time, so.
I can imagine.
Just like you, Walkie, yeah. Baseball, kids,
yeah.
Fantasy sports.
That's pretty much it. Darren. Yeah, exactly. Darren, who's your baseball team?
Who's my baseball team? Well, you know, we have a local college. It's a college summer league, and we host a player from that team. So, it's about 5 blocks away at the St. Cloud Rocks in Minnesota here. And it's just local baseball, college kids that, once they're done with their college season, they get drafted by these teams and they come up and play a little ball for us. And it's a lot of fun. It's just a lot of fun getting to know the kids and you spend a lot of time with them, get to watch the games. It's great for my son. He just loves it. So it's a real good time.
That's pretty awesome, actually.
It's all about the love of the game, Dave.
Speaking of love winning. Hey, Balky, apparently he won the 1750 number 24 title.
That's Rob. Listen.
Hey, Rob, we don't have 1750 leagues, you moron.
What's funny about this is there's actually three typos.
If that was a 1750.
Yeah, we underpaid him. Now he's going to want more money.
The only player at the 1750 level in the FFPC
right.
last year.
I dominated the
league. So
it's
Aaron, the check's in the mail.
Yeah, right.
All right, and this 1250 league. You have three great tight ends, Kelsey, Greg Olson, and the underrated Kyle Rudolph, who Balky and I were kind of on. We'll give ourselves a little credit there.
You were on him more than I was.
How difficult was it in getting these three tight ends on your squad, given the tight end premium format?
Well, I actually was able to draft these guys, and how I did that, I drew the second pick overall, and I got a lot of interest in that, so I ended up trading that away. I ended up getting my first pick in the draft was 211, believe it or not. And
nice.
So I had 211, 212, 3-1, and 3-2. I had 4 picks right in a row there. And, I mulled that over for a long time. And I thought I was going to take a tight end there, but it kind of shook out a little different than what I thought. So I ended up taking Landry Miller, T.Y., and Freeman with those picks. And then I didn't pick again until the back end of the fourth round. I had 4-11 and 4-12, and no tight ends off the board yet, except for Gronk, of course. And Jordan Reed got plucked early in the fourth, and I got pretty nervous, so I traded up in the fourth, traded back one of my picks in the sixth, and was able to nab Kelsey in the mid-fourth, and then I took Olson with 4-12. And then Rudolph, I got him later on. He was like 17th round or something like that. I got pretty fortunate with that one. But that's how I ended up with those guys.
Oh, did everybody get mad when you took your second tight end? Then right away, like, you took the first one, and then they take the second one, and they're like, what a jerk. Oh, now everybody's drafted.
Oh, he's one of these guys.
Yeah, exactly. Here we go, guys.
Actually, there was more banter about the running backs that were being picked. And I was kind of, everybody was, really on the receivers, obviously. That's just the way the trend was last year. And, it was kind of ironic how many running backs are being taken earlier. And the group was kind of talking about that as we were going through the draft. But nobody really mentioned anything about the tight ends. And I'm just, it always surprises me how long these guys last. I don't know if it's just the drafts that I'm in or if that's just kind of how it trends. But with the premium on the tight ends, it's surprising to me that you can get guys like that in the mid fourth round and late fourth round. But that's kind of how it shook out. And of course, Rudolph's older. Olsen's older, so I figured that he would slip. I probably could have waited a little while on him, but I wanted my guy, so I went and got him.
That's right. That's what it's all about, Dave. Oh, getting your guys.
Just tell him to say that, Bucky.
No, no. This was this is just truth. This is fantasy fact. Darren, Darren, I want to get into the running backs versus receivers discussion in Dynasty because it's obviously a very compelling thing to watch in each of these maiden startups. When you look at how you won the 750 number six, and when you won that in back-to-back years, and you know we're talking about 4 or 5 years ago for this startup draft, but did you feel like you were trading premium, you know, a first-round pick, and then maybe trading back again out of the first round where you're not making your first pick until the second round? Is that how you built that team, too, that won those back-to-back titles, or don't you remember, or don't you recall?
Actually, it was exactly the same way. My first pick in that draft was 211 as well, and Adrian Peterson was coming off that horrendous injury, and I thought I could get him at 211. I thought people would lay off on him, be scared, you know, for obvious reasons, but I was pretty confident I was going to get him, and so I plucked him at 211, and then I came back early in the third. I think it was 3-2, I believe, and I got Forte, and then that's the year I think he started to pop that year, so virtually identical game plan in that initial draft as well. That draft I ended up with 13 players, 13 picks in the by the end of the eighth round, and I got Tony Gonzalez in the 13th round in that draft. And, wow. You know, he's basically the guy that won those championships for me. And then I got lucky. I was fortunate. He came back for another year. So I got the benefit of having him for 2 years.
The bonus Gonzo years. I always appreciate that. Darren, trading down works in FFPC Dynasty, works for the New England Patriots in the NFL as well. Something to learn, kids, tonight. Take that from this interview. Let's talk about the running backs that you had in this team, Darren. Jay Ajayi, Devontae Freeman, LeSean McCoy, Lamar Miller. With so many team owners valuing wide receivers so much in Dynasty over running backs, did you feel that you got those four backs at much cheaper prices than what you should have paid, than what their value ended up being?
Yeah, I really do. I had another group of picks late sixth round and then the first two picks in the seventh round. So I had 11 picks by the time I hit that second pick in the seventh round. And that's where I picked up McCoy and Ajayi, Sanders, Decker, and Wilson with that grouping of five picks at the end of the sixth round. And, I think those guys, you know, probably, obviously it's easy to say now, but they should have gone a little sooner. But, you know, for whatever reason, I mean, there's just so much emphasis on the receivers, and it makes sense. But, I was pretty confident that those guys would be there, and that's kind of how I set up. I tried to when I made my trades, and it took me probably a half dozen trades to accumulate the picks that I had, and I tried to get them in certain sections of the draft where I thought I would get the players that I wanted, and it felt pretty true to form, but. You always have to have a plan B, but it worked out pretty well.
All right, we're moving on. We're talking about Dynasty Cutdown Day in the FFPC. Came and went this past week. Did you happen to have any tough decisions to make, or is there anyone you had to part with, or any trades you made, or anything you had to do that you really didn't want to do? We like to make these decisions tough, so I want to hear about it.
I can't add much drama to that. I had a pretty easy route there. There was four guys that were pretty obvious to me that needed to go. Ryan Matthews being one of them. He was just depth that never got used. He's just unplayable, in my opinion, because you just don't know when he's going to score. And who knows what's going to happen with him moving forward. Maybe he's done. But, it was pretty easy. Nobody I can't replace in this upcoming draft, for sure.
Hey, let me follow up that question, Darren, with talking about that Philadelphia backfield right now. As we look forward to the NFL draft, Dave and I always talk about, you know, on the show, which running back situation is the one you want to fall into if you're a premium running back for fantasy value. I'm looking at Green Bay as being a pretty good one right now with their, you know, essentially bare covered in the backfield besides Ty Montgomery. And then Philadelphia, who could cut Ryan Matthews as well, getting cut in Dynasty and getting cut in real life. But that's another exciting landing spot in Indianapolis as well. I look at those three situations. really primed for a bell cow type guy to step in and be fantasy meaningful, maybe a top 12 season right away in the NFL. Which is the situation to look at? Which do you think is the best situation that you want to see your rookie running back falling into?
Well, I think out of those three, I definitely look at Indianapolis just because of the quarterback situation. They're solid at wide receiver. You get the right guy in that backfield. I think, there's some great opportunity there. Philadelphia would be my second choice there, depending on who these guys are. But I think those are the best two situations. And then Green Bay, I think it's just they're so pass heavy and so reliant on Rodgers. And, it would be tough for me to count on the running back in that situation. But, you never know.
Darren Liebrens is our guest tonight, the FFPC 750 number 24 Dynasty champ from last season, also won the 750 number 6 in back-to-back years as well. In this league's rookie draft, Darren, you don't pick until round 3. You trade away your first two picks in this draft. When you decided to trade away your first and second round picks, were you simply trying to load up with some talent, some depth, to make sure that you were giving yourself the best chance to win the championship this first year? Or were you just not that excited about this year's rookie crop?
No, I think this is a great rookie crop. I'd love to have a couple of first-round picks or a first and a second-round pick this year. But when I go into these things, it's all in. I'm trying to win from the outset. I don't have a lot of patience for trying to develop rookies, in all honesty. And sometimes that's what it takes, when you're gonna have to wait on a rookie. And with the roster so small, it really makes it difficult. If you've got to eat up a roster spot with a rookie waiting for him to develop. So I tend to shy away from that, to be honest with you. And I think with my first pick in the third round, at the end of the third round, I'll probably be looking at some of the guys that got cut here recently, from last year that didn't reach their potential. There's a few people out there that might, maybe in their second year, come into their game a little bit. So that's where I'll be looking.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's an interesting thing in the FFPC drafts, because there's so many guys that have to get cut. You have guys like that that were rookies that didn't perform. Then you have guys that are older that are solid performers that actually produced really well. I know Steve Smith's the guy I used to always bring up. As a person, you get like the fourth or fifth round, and he'd always have like an RB or a WR2 season.
Right.
Do you do some of that, Darren, as well? I mean, just grabbing like old guys that you just feel like, hey, this is a guy I can use for bye weeks, if nothing else.
Oh, for sure. That's what I'm looking for. And I'm also looking to try to build for the future at that point, too. You're throwing darts a little bit at that point. And, right now in our league, we've got Kenny Stills out there that was cut, Dontrell Inman.
Wow.
There's a few guys out there that, they probably won't be there when I pick, but there's some opportunity. That Robbie Anderson from the Jets, now that Marshall's moving on. It all depends on what these teams do in the draft, of course, but, I mean, there's some opportunity laying on the waiver wire right now. So that's where I turn first in most cases.
Okay, so Eric's telling me here that you've already gone back-to-back. 750, that was all part of his intro.
Yeah.
So what's it going to take for this squad, the 1750 squad, to repeat as a champion
and win the same amount of money as the 750 squad would?
Yeah, that would be sweet. I feel pretty good about it. It's pretty solid. I've got my core group that I drafted, obviously. And I really like being strong at the tight end in these leagues. And, I've got an older tight end. I've got the up and comer, one of the top two or three in Kelsey, and he's young. And so I'm feeling really good about it. I've got enough depth to withstand some injuries or whatever else might happen. So I like my chances, but we all know how that goes. I mean, it can turn in a heartbeat, but I like my odds.
Speaking of turning in a heartbeat, this is something I wanted to bring up at the top of the show, and we got to get to a break, but I want to bring this up and just so we mention it. And if you guys say there's nothing there, there's nothing there. But Marshawn Lynch is apparently, according to a RotoWorld blurb, had a conversation, and they are not disputing that he met with John Schneider and Pete Carroll in Seattle. Allegedly, one report said he asked for his release from the Seahawks, and the Raiders are apparently interested in Marshawn Lynch, who played college just not very far away at Cal, and then obviously it's from that Oakland area there. And he apparently, again, this is just a lot of hearsay, but he's been wearing a lot of Raiders gear or hanging out with his friends the last couple of weeks as well. Darren, is there any smoke? I mean, is there any fire? Is this even any smoke to pay attention to? Are you largely ignoring this? Or is this the type of guy that you would look at who would be stepping in behind a prime offensive line, a playoff contending team, maybe an AFC championship contending team, and he could be the main guy on this team? What are your thoughts about Marshawn Lynch as far as how he relates to Dynasty right now?
For me and where my team is at, I would definitely take a chance on him. I've got, you know, like I said, I've got the depth. I mean, he's a guy that could put me over the top on another championship. I'd definitely look at that. You know, late rounder here when you're, again, throwing darts. Why not? Take your chances. I mean, we're drafting seven players. We're all going to cut three players. There's some picks to burn there. You know, so I would definitely take a chance on him.
Would you rather have Dare Ogunbowale, the backup running back for Wisconsin this past year, or Marshawn Beast Mode Lynch? You know, it'll come down to that sometimes.
Dare.
Yeah, whatever. That's exactly. So ridiculous. We are going to get to a break here, ladies and gentlemen, right now. When we come back, we're going to have much more with 750 number 24 FFPC Dynasty champ Darren Liebertz talking about rookie receivers Mike Williams, Corey Davis, and more. That's all coming up on the HSFF Hour. Eric Balkman, Dave Gerzak, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Creeping closer and closer towards the NFL draft are we on this St. Patrick's Day weekend. Hi, I'm Eric Balkman. He's Dave Gerzak. This is the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour, and tonight we are speaking with the FFPC 2016 750 number 24 champion, Darren Liebertz, talking about his titles that he won. Let's get into the rookie class a little bit here, Darren, and talk about Mike Williams. Now, originally, I read a report from ESPN that he ran a 4.49 at Clemson's Pro Day. And I checked that again today, and now it's being reported as a 4.56 and a 4.58. Either way, he was sub 4.6, which isn't great, but it's not terrible.
Either way.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying.
I mean, technically, that's true. But yeah, there's a pretty big difference between those.
Yes, but it's not like, oh, my God, a 4.56. You know what I mean? It's not like terrible. And a lot of people were saying, a lot of scouts said, if he runs a 4.55, that'll be enough. Well, this wasn't enough, but it's 0.01 away from being enough. That was at Clemson's Pro Day. Corey Davis missed his Pro Day because of that injury he suffered. Which of these two guys do you like better now, having this information in your brain as we look at where these guys are going to be selected in the NFL draft from a talent standpoint? Which one do you like better, Williams or Davis?
For me, for sure, Mike Williams, and it always boils down, I mean, it's injury concerns for me. We've already got Davis that, you know, he's missed the pro day because of an injury. Maybe not a big deal, but I always try to shy away from that. Now, I'm contradicting myself because I drafted Adrian Peterson after his big injury, but that's a different deal in my opinion. But, I would go with Mike Williams, but to be in all honesty, I just have a hard time getting excited about rookies. And it's I know it's not the fun way to go about it, but I really like to rely on players that have played in the league and proven it. And maybe after the second year, if they haven't done anything in the first year, I take a chance on them. But if I had to choose a rookie, I would choose Mike Williams.
So knowing that, I mean, have you floated any offers in the past year or two for a guy like Kevin White, or maybe this season a guy like Laquon Treadwell, guys who have seemingly seen their value take a massive hit, especially Treadwell, who was a first-round wide receiver pick that was a top-two rookie draft pick. Have you floated any offers out there for a guy like Treadwell, or is he a guy that you're not interested in acquiring?
No, definitely. That's something I'm going to be working on here now that we've made our cuts and we're able to expand our rosters again. You're kind of handcuffed at the 16. You know, you have to cut down to 16, obviously, we all know. But after we're able to expand, then that's when I try to look at maybe getting a 2-for-1. I'd definitely be willing to move one of my top running backs and throw a couple darts at try to get a 2-for-1 on some prospects.
Balky was talking about too many cooks in the kitchen, but he was talking about the running backs for New England. I'm talking about Brandon Cooks. Is his value higher or lower now with his move?
I think it's definitely higher. I think he's going to have a monster year. Just my gut feeling, he'd be a great guy to own. I'd probably overpay to try to get him too. But, yeah, I think he's going to be great. I think you're going to see some great volume out of him, especially if Gronk goes down again. You know, there's always that concern. I think Cooks is going to be a pretty stellar player there. But, I'm going to look at what he left and look at – I'm going to watch the Saints and what they do at receiver. Snead is a guy I'm thinking about. You know, Cooks moves on, unless they add somebody else in the draft. But even at that, I think Snead's another guy that I'd be looking at.
Wouldn't it be such a Saints thing to do? You know, they get the 32nd overall pick in this trade for Cooks, and then they draft, like, you know, Carlos Henderson or John Ross falls. You know what I mean? Like, take a receiver when they want to.
That wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, they'd totally be such a Saints thing to do.
You look at the Saints and then Cooks and the way the relationship ended. And, you know, these are like, the Saints are like one of those people who gets divorced like four times and they always blame it on the other person. It's like, you know, the same thing with Jimmy Graham. And I look at Cooks and I'm like, you know, now he was in this dysfunctional relationship. He was abused by these Saints people. He's finally got a good one.
Yeah.
He's got a good one. He's got a keeper.
All right.
Good for him.
Her?
Good for Brandon.
Her?
Him, her, whatever.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Jimmy Graham. I wasn't sure what we were talking about.
Jimmy's pretty happy in Seattle now. He had a little bit of an off year.
Let me follow this up as long as we're talking about Brandon Cooks with you, Darren. Cooks essentially steps into an offense where there is a big three in the receiving game. Brandon Cooks now, Julian Edelman, Rob Gronkowski. It's difficult, and I think Dave touched on this earlier, maybe not on the show, but I know you touched on it in real life. But you said it was very difficult for those three guys to hold the fantasy value that each of them is going to produce this year, given where they're going to be picked in drafts. Who is the odd man out there? Is it Cooks? Is it Gronk? I mean, obviously it's not Cooks because you said he's in for a big season. Do you see Gronk or Edelman maybe taking a step back in this passing offense in 2017?
Personally, I think it's Edelman. I think he takes a step back, albeit not a big one maybe. I think it's and I'm counting on Gronk probably getting hurt again. So, you know, maybe it's a combination, you know, a bit of a combination. But I think Edelman's going to take a bit of a hit.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that seems to be the popular opinion right now is everybody's kind of bearish on Julian Edelman. And honestly, maybe, again, I'm guilty of this too. We always overlook. The only opinion that matters, the New England Patriots apparently down enough on Julian Edelman to trade for Brandon Cooks to become a very large part of this passing offense. New England, Ray Chung and I were actually talking about this. New England just doesn't throw around first round picks. They don't. I mean, they if they trade them, they're getting something solid back for that pick in return. And in this case, it was Cook. So he should have a big year. A couple of emails for you tonight, Darren. First one's from Greg in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Hi, Darren. What kind of numbers do you see Latavius Murray ending up with as the number one running back in Minnesota this year? Thank you for the email, Greg. Latavius Murray freshly signed with the Minnesota Football Vikings, as he is probably going to be their number one running back, 3 years, $15 million on that contract. Where do you see him? I mean, you can give us numbers. You can tell us where you think he finishes among running backs this year, but what kind of 2017 is in store for Latavius Murray?
Not real excited about it, and here's why. I don't think they've addressed enough of the issues on the offensive line. Peterson, you know, obviously got hurt, but, you know, there wasn't anything there for him. You know, there's no openings, there's no holes. That offensive line just couldn't get it done. Unless they address more of that offensive line, I don't think Latavius Murray is going to be the answer. So I don't put him in the top 20. In running back.
So nothing spectacular. And honestly, it doesn't sound like you would be big on McKinnon then, using that same rationale of just having a bad offensive line there. Even if McKinnon was to be the guy, can't really expect big numbers from him either.
No, since I traded away Adrian Peterson, I've stayed away from the Viking backfield like the plague. It's and, you know, with good reason, I think.
Next email here from Heath in Chicago, Illinois. That's the Illinois Chicago, as opposed to the other Chicago. What's up, Darren? Congrats on winning a third title. Do you ever feel you should have to rebuild a dynasty team as a natural, organically occurring part of this format? Or can you expect, with proper management, you can compete for a title each year? Thanks. Thanks for the email. Heath, so this is the age-old question. Should you ever have to rebuild if you're doing it right? Darren, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, that's the goal. I'm going to try not to rebuild this time. The last time I was all in, I had a lot of older players, you know, and after that second title in 13, you know, it fell off a cliff pretty quickly. This time around, I kept that in mind. I drafted some younger players, was able to pull off the championship, and I'm hoping that I can keep this thing rolling now. You know, I've got to find some trade partners, though. You know, I've got to be able to, you know, have the courage to move some of these chips. You know, maybe McCoy is on the trade block, you know. And it's going to be tough to trade him and try to still win a title this year. So, but, yeah, definitely that's the goal. I'm going to try to keep it rolling as long as I can. But it's tough, especially with the, you know, there's a lot of talent in these leagues, and you can't make too many mistakes or you're not going to get it done. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But you have to have willing trade partners. That's the key.
Darren, do you ever feel like, because I'm speaking specifically about this 750, number 24 team, you had four really stud running backs. You had three, I mean, arguably the three best tight ends out there. No, 750.
Oh,
it was 750.
It was 750,
not 1750, yes.
See, even I'm still confused.
I know, listen, we're all confused. It's like we've all tapped into the Guinness way too early tonight. Nobody knows what's going on. No, but you look at this squad. It's very top heavy for both running backs and tight ends. I was wondering if you're looking at trying to deal these assets for younger players that can keep this momentum going, that can keep this team dominant. Are you better off trying to acquire running backs and maybe tight ends to a certain point? Because the perceived value of those positions is a little bit lower. Whereas if you're trying to acquire a younger receiver, you might have to overpay because of how people love to acquire and draft receivers in dynasty formats. How much does that play into what you're going to be doing here and how you're going to be running this team going forward?
Yeah, that's, you know, you hit it, and that's exactly what I look for. When I'm going to try to make a deal, it doesn't matter to me if it's a running back or a wide receiver. You know, with the two flex spots, I mean, you know, you've got a lot of flexibility there, obviously. And, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, if I'm going to give up McCoy, let's say, and if it's a running back I want and a wide receiver or a tight end and a running back, it doesn't matter to me as long as there are two players that I think that, you know, in the future are going to, you know, improve my squad. And I try to keep my positions balanced as best that I can, so I don't get overbalanced or, you know, short myself in any particular position. But, you know, it doesn't really matter. If I'm going to go 2-for-1, it's, you know, two best available players that I can get.
All right, Darren, this is one of our favorite questions. Give us a rookie that you think will be like a first-round dynasty bust. So this will be easy for you to give away this information because you don't have any early picks.
Yeah, totally.
And this one, you know, I don't know if you're going to be honest here, but another rookie that will end up having a big value is a second or third round dynasty rookie pick. So maybe one of the guys you might be looking at.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to give a real great answer. Like I said, I really shy away from the rookies, so I don't spend a lot of time studying. But, you know, I'm going to give you the same name for the biggest bust or the biggest potential boom, and I'm going to go with Corey Davis. Because of that injury, you know, it's probably not a big deal, but anytime you're taking those players that high, you know, he could go either way. You look back on previous drafts, for every Ezekiel Elliott that falls into a perfect situation, there's, you know, five other guys that just don't pan out. And that doesn't mean they're not going to, but it can be a very long road, meaning, you know, 2 or 3 years before they start showing their potential. And it's just a risk that the patience required is something that I just can't deal with. So I kind of shy away.
One of the things I take away from this interview is just what you just said. You're not really into the rookies, and you know, you're a success. You're a dynasty player. You've been successful. You're continually successful, and you have competitive teams. And you don't even really research the rookies that much. You're just not that interested in them. I just think that's something that's very different from a lot of the people we've had on. That's something that people should take note of.
And Darren, before you give a comment on that, I will also say that not only are you not that into rookies and you've been a successful dynasty player, you're have built some pretty solid teams without awesome receivers, which a lot of people will tell you that's how that's the key to being dominant in dynasties. You got to have these good young receivers. So two contradictory aspects, and here you've won three 750 FFPC teams. I feel like, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but maybe that's been the key to your success is all the zigging when everyone else is zagging.
Yeah, that's exactly what I look for, to be honest with you. I try to do try to look for the value where I can get it. And you know, if everybody's going to be hot on receiver, then I have to look somewhere else. I have to be strong in two of those three. To win these things, you have to be strong in two of the three areas, you know, meaning wide receiver, running back, or tight end. Tight end, I believe, in these leagues, you have to have the guys to win these titles. And, of course, other people win titles without the great tight ends. But you look at the team that took second place, and he's the guy that I traded away the second pick to this year. He finished second. So there's a polar opposite strategy in the draft that finished second. The only reason he finished second, in my opinion, is he didn't have the depth, obviously, because he didn't have the picks, because he gave most of them to me, but he didn't have the tight end either. He didn't have the tight end to finish it, but he was right there. It, you know, in the last 2 weeks, one of those things go a little different, and he's the champion. So, you know, there's certainly different ways to do it, but it's just interesting that he finished second with a totally different strategy than what I had.
It's all the FFPC. It's all about building your teams your way and seeing which strategy ends up playing out. And sometimes
that's what it's all about.
Yeah, that is what it's all about. seeing how it happens. It's very compelling, even to the people who aren't in that each individual league. It's something that I pay attention to religiously, David. Darren, it has been a treat having you on tonight.
What the hell did you just
say? A lot of great stuff from you tonight. A lot of great analysis. A lot of stuff that I think a lot of listeners and Dynasty players have not really given a whole lot of thought to, but I know they will be after tonight. Congrats on your third FFPC 750 Dynasty title. I wish you good luck in repeating that title this year. Have a great St. Patrick's Day, and you know, going forward, good luck in going out and getting your guys, man.
Thanks a lot, guys. I really appreciate you having me on.
You bet. Darren Liebrens is our great guest. Great interview, great Dynasty player. So here's the thing, Dave. Here's the thing, what I learned tonight. Dynasty Fantasy Football. Don't just ignore the rookies, ignore the receivers, and you'll be fine.
Yep.
You know who would love to co-own a
Get
team?
Your guys.
You know who would love to co-own a team with Darren is Jake Rickrode.
Oh yeah.
Who again is not a huge rookie guy and believes that you can, if you manage it right, you can make the playoffs and compete for a title every year.
I feel like Jake Rickrode, his entrance music could be like Ghetto Vet by Ice Cube coming in, like all he wants is the vets.
You know? Yeah, that, well, listen, I don't want to, you know, I'm not a pop culture, you know, aficionado when it comes to matching up music with Dynasty players. But I will check to you on that one, my friend, and I will check with you after this break. We're going to talk about how the tight ends finished in 2016 in the FFPC. You're listening to the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. Eric Balkman, Dave Gerzak, happy St. Patrick's Day. Be right back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The Fantasy Football Players Championship is a tight end premium format, and here on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour with myself, Eric Balkman, and him, Dave Gerzak, we're going to be analyzing how those tight ends finished in 2016. Great interview from Darren Liebrens right before that. I want to thank him for coming on. We look at the tight ends, Dave. I don't think we need to go in as in-depth as we did with running backs and receivers, because there's not a whole lot of difference makers at tight end. And I think last year, and disagree with me if you want, I felt tight end was maybe the most top-heavy as it's ever been as long as I've been playing fantasy football.
Yeah, there were a lot of crummy tight ends last year.
A ton. Like, and we talk about how crummy the...
If you had a good tight end, you were, like, ecstatic.
Like, running backs 10 to 15 this past year.
Yeah.
We talked about with Isaiah Crowell, we talked about with Frank Gore. Like, wait, those guys were RB1s? You know, like, we couldn't believe it that they were. And tight ends, too. I mean, you look... Well, we'll get into it. We'll start from the top. But there's some ones in here like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe he was a tight end one. So let's start right with number one. You at all surprised to see Travis Kelce's name up at the top of the board? The number one fantasy tight end last year, Dave.
A little bit.
Fake Gronk, as he's referred to by some of the members of the Denver Broncos defense. He was real Gronk last year.
popped off a 33 in week 16 in regular PPR leagues.
I mean, he
that
had
is, that. I remember that game. That it was so crazy. That actually won me a title, a dynasty title.
Oh, really?
Fantasy Sharks title.
Really?
That was that's a 14 team league with you only start 8 guys.
Yeah.
So take a 33 point tight end week, and the guy I'm playing is probably just like trying to hang himself. You're only starting one running back, 2 wide receivers, a tight end, a quarterback, and then a flex, and then kicker defense.
Right. Answer by him in the chat room right now. How many tight ends go round one in the rookie FFPC drafts? I'm not really sure if we talked about this or not. We kind of touched on it a little bit. I think we settled on 2. We said there might be a chance at 3.
Yeah, I mean, the tight ends are fantastic this year. And because rookies are – I mean, because tight ends are a premium, I think 3. I mean, I
who's
think there might be –
Do you think it's Engram or Hodges?
Depends on where they get – who gets drafted.
Right.
I mean
– But you're counting in this 3. You're counting Howard and Njoku, right?
For sure. I think Njoku because he's Mr. Athleticism.
Right.
I personally like Hodges the best out of the other guys. I think I think Engram, he's really fast, but he's not really, he's kind of like a wide receiver. He's just a wide receiver that's playing tight end, you know.
Right.
But, I mean, that's 40 time. I mean, if the right team drafts him, great. The problem is that there's not enough right teams out there.
Right. Yeah. No, that's true. So let's move on. Greg Olsen, Mr. Consistent. He finishes the tight end number 2 this year. I feel like, you know, I have him in the Carrington League, and every time I think about dealing him to try to get younger at tight end, I'm like, he could play like another 4 years
at
like a good level. Why would I deal him now?
He has seemed old for 4 years
already,
and he's just still like looks like the same.
Do you know how old Greg Olsen is? Seriously.
30?
43.
Shut up.
And he's still
you
churning.
Always do that over
he's
the
always
and
you
and I always not find it funny.
I always think I'm going to give you the real number. He's actually 48, which not a lot of people realize.
You know, some people come here for information. He's 32 years old.
These are alternative facts, Dave.
He just turned 32 March 11th. Fake news.
32 March. Okay.
He just turned 32.
This will be his age 32 season.
Correct. Yeah.
He could probably be successful playing at 35. Look at Jason Witten. He's 59 and he's still cranking it out.
I mean, tight ends, I mean, they're taking better care of themselves. The trend does, it really starts to drop off. But I mean,
right.
I don't know. I mean, if you can trade Olsen and get really good value for him, this is probably the last year you can really do it.
I think in the FFPC, it would take a format like that.
Right.
Because I don't think you're going to get top dollar anywhere else for him.
I would have no problem riding him off, right? I don't.
Holding the bag.
Letting him ride off in the sunset. I don't want to say riding him off in the sunset. We're letting him ride off in the sunset. Let me get my wording correct.
Yes. Yeah. There's an image. Jimmy Graham. Speaking of riding tight ends off into the sunset, Jimmy Graham is the number 3 tight end here, Dave.
That's funny.
And you have him in Seattle. Really big time season this past year. Came back to, I wouldn't say be the Jimmy Graham of old. We saw flashes of it, but I feel like he's the type of tight end who's really refined his game to when he's not the most athletic guy on the field anymore like he used to be. I think he knows how to get open and how to, you know, accrue fantasy points in a different way than he normally has. I'm buying into Jimmy Graham again this year, and I feel like he'll end up, again, he'll probably be a guy that's not drafted as high as he should be, and I think I'll end up getting him as my starting tight end in a few teams.
I think you're right. I mean, the thing of, okay, let's take a look at one thing here real quickly. I'm going to go through this one. Okay, so in 2015, the top 5 tight ends. Let me just read off the points for you.
Okay.
Players don't matter. 250. This is point PPR, not FFPC.
Right.
252, 239, 226, 223, and 222.
So 222 to 256 is the range.
Okay. That was the top 5. And then Jimmy Graham at number 3. He had 183 fantasy points.
Yeah.
The number 1 tight end would have been the number 6 tight end last year. I mean, that's how bad, I mean, as you're saying, tight end scoring was so poor.
Which is
so
weird.
I was going to say, look at Jimmy Graham, and I feel like his season kind of still sucked. I mean, it wasn't really that good, you know? Right?
Yeah.
All right, go
ahead. Which is really weird that we're seeing these tight ends down in scoring for 2 reasons. One, the NFL is as much of a passing league as it ever has been in its existence. And number 2, tight ends have been more involved in the passing game more than they ever have been before. So it's weird. Maybe it was just a down year for tight ends.
It seems like it.
But there's a lot of dreck here. And you say, well, Balky, I don't know about that. I think it was a pretty good year for tight ends. What evidence do you have? Well, my evidence rests at number 4. Kyle Rudolph, the number 4 tight end last year. Again, this is not regular PPR scoring.
You were happy to be getting 10 points out of him every week, 10-plus points.
Mr. Consistent. I mean, you look at his – I mean, he had a 7 and an 8 and a 3, but every other game was up 10 or above.
Right. Right.
Now, he did get a decent amount of touchdowns. I don't want to get into the whole touchdowns aren't sustainable argument with you again, because people who listen to the show know that I am clearly right and you're clearly wrong.
Correct.
Yes.
I don't want to get agitated. My shrink told me to just take it easy.
So you're going to let me have it.
Yeah.
So the Minnesota passing game, Adam Thielen got signed to, I think it was a 3-year deal. They gave him some serious money too. You have Adam Thielen there. You have Stephon Diggs, who obviously was very good in PPR leagues last year. And then Charles Johnson's gone. Laquan Treadwell still hasn't stepped up. Cordero Patterson is now a Raider. You look at this team, I don't think enough of this has changed to the point where you have to expect a serious regression from Kyle Rudolph. Maybe this is him.
Well, keep in mind, this is the only year he's ever really truly stayed healthy, or so it seemed like, for the entire season. So that was that big benefit for him. Hopefully he stays healthy again. And, you know, he's got Bradford. I mean, it doesn't seem to me like, what's his name? Bridgewater's going to be back ever.
No, it's really not. It's that knee injury is so devastating. And it sounds like Bradford's going to be the starter again right away. Like, they're already ruling out Bridgewater for the start of the season.
Yeah.
And maybe the fact that they had Bradford in for 2 years on his contract, that was key for Minnesota to give up that first round pick, because they knew that this was going to be a multi-year injury for Bridgewater.
Let me ask you a question. So what do you think of that trade, the Bradford trade? Cause I think you could kind of make a case both directions, like give up a first round pick for a player like Bradford, but yet because he's been reasonably decent, he's been okay. And he's going to be probably decent enough this year. He probably won't win them a Super Bowl. So then the question begs, is it like, okay, well, you won a few extra games last year and then in 2017 versus like having some, you know, terrible quarterback.
Well, I think what clouds my judgment on this is dependent upon when you ask me the question. Initially, I'm like, oh my God, what are they doing? It's Bradford. What are you giving a first round pickup for?
Right, exactly.
Then they started off 5-0. I'm like, Rick Spielman's a genius. Like, this guy's executive of the year. And then they didn't make the playoffs. So it's like, why did they do that deal, you know? I don't know if the number 14 pick. I don't know if the number 14 pick is helping you win a Super Bowl.
It's going to help you. I mean,
any more than Sam. I mean,
who's a blue chip prospect?
Who's the quarterback that you have in there to lead this team if you don't make that deal?
I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, you could draft like.
But it does matter though.
You're not going to win the Super Bowl this year or next year. The problem is you may have gotten an All Pro offensive lineman at the 14 pick,
okay.
And who could help you in 2018, 19, or 20. When you're it's highly unlikely Sam Bradford is going to be the missing cog, you know, that's going to
take
down Big Ben, or Tom Brady, or Russell Wilson, or Aaron Rodgers. Thank God Bradford's here. Now we got it.
But I think Minnesota, nobody cares about this because it has nothing to do with fantasy. I'll just say this. I think Minnesota didn't have, what are they called, delusions of grandeur. I don't think they had that.
I think they might have.
I think
they thought their defense was so amazing
that all they needed was a capable quarterback that could make a few plays, which is what, let's face it, that's what Bradford is.
They thought they think they were gonna, you know, who was that quarterback who was just so terrible that
Brock Osweiler.
No, the Ravens.
Tony Eason. Oh, Trent Dilfer.
Yeah, Dilfer. Yeah. What do you think they're gonna Dilfer their way into Super Bowl?
I think they might.
That hasn't happened since Dilfer.
Mike Zimmer in that defense? Nobody's Dilfered since Dilfer.
That's because no one's defense has been like that Ravens defense.
Number 5 tight end, Delanie Walker. Tennessee has not been able to bring in a stud receiver. They've lost out on Alshon Jeffrey and failed to bring in DeSean Jackson. You look at Tajay Sharpe and Rashard Matthews coming back. Could be another good year for Delanie Walker, and he might have another top 5 year in store for him this year.
I don't know what it is with me and Delanie Walker. Football guys always like him, and I always hate him. I just can't draft the guy.
Yeah.
He's so unexciting for me. I don't take him. He'll probably be top 5 again. He was top 5 last year. He was 5th each year, last year and this past year. He'll be 5th again in 2017. I probably won't own him anywhere. Sorry.
You know, the Delanie Walker story I always tell is, well, not that I've told it too much, but in Kentucky a few years ago, I was sitting next to Kimra Schlicher's niece, Candace, and Charles Robinson, her now husband. And they were drafting next to me.
So Candace Robinson?
Yes, I guess. Robinson. McMillan. Excuse me. Sorry about that. I hit Robinson on the brain. Listen, so they're sitting next to me talking strategy about who they're going to draft.
And you're in the league with them?
I was sitting next to him.
Eavesdropping?
I was not eavesdropping. That's the thing. And I was looking at getting a backup tight end at this point.
The little
yeah.
The water thing
to
your ear?
It was terrible. So I'm sitting there and I end up taking Delanie Walker as my backup tight end. And they're all like, shh, oh, whatever. You know, I'm like, I swear I wasn't listening. I didn't even know what, first of all, I didn't know what they were freaking out about, but that's who they were discussing. Yeah. That's who they're going to take. And they picked next. I was picking my performance. I took Delanie Walker and I was like, no, you know, I'll take it back. Cause like I didn't really honestly care. I was deciding between Delanie Walker and like another, cause this was before Walker really broke out. Yeah. Cause I was drafting him as a backup.
Right. So a junkie guy.
Yeah. I was like, I'll take it back. You can have Walker. And you're like, no, that's all right. Well, of course, Walker crushed it that season. And by week four, he was an every week starter for me. So I always felt bad about that. Cameron Brate, number six tight end last year. Does he sustain it in 2017? Now that he has to contend with DeSean Jackson for targets as well.
You know, I think I like Cameron Brate. He, you know, unlike Delanie Walker, I mean, he's got some upside. He's a young guy. I mean, what is he? This is what?
25?
Yeah. So, this is his fourth year. He barely did anything in 2014. He went to Harvard, Balky.
Yeah.
I'm sure he got a good score on the Wonderlic.
Harvard, that means he's got a great football mind and he's sneaky fast. Right?
That's right.
Is that the scouting report?
That's right.
The boilerplate scouting report?
That's the implied racism usually in most of those scouting reports. But he wasn't used that often early on. And then, he got a lot more use starting week eight, it looked like.
Right.
He had one big game in week three.
Yeah.
So, I'm more interested in what he could do once, the team is kind of realizing that this is the guy. They got rid of Austin Spurrier and Jenkins because they realized he's just a total pinhead.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't mind him. I mean, Winston's going to only be a little bit better.
Yeah. Martellus Bennett, the number seven tight end for the New England Patriots. He moves on to Green Bay. We talked about Bennett enough last week. I don't really think we need to get
Agreed.
Into it more. But
not enough targets.
So you think he finishes lower than number seven tight end? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They just don't involve tight ends enough in the offense.
Maybe it's, again, the chicken or the egg thing. We talked, which by the way, I heard on another podcast this week about the Brandon Cooks, Tom Brady. Oh, Brady doesn't throw deep since he had Moss. Well, he doesn't throw deep because he hasn't had anybody,
Yeah.
Somebody else was, I think it was the ESPN fantasy.
They were copying our stuff.
Right? Oh, yeah, totally.
As usual.
Because chicken or the egg. I mean, whoever brings that up.
I mean, I know. I've never heard that before.
Yeah. I had to explain it to you. You didn't even know what it was.
Shut up.
Jordan Reed is the number eight tight end.
Kern Reed wasn't listening this evening.
Jordan Reed, the number eight tight end. But if you go by fantasy points per game, he was the number two tight end. So Jordan Reed's kind of a compelling guy. You know, everybody knows the story with him. Awesome when he's on the field, but he's not always on the field. Will you be taking him in any leagues this year? Because you're going to have to pay the premium of assuming he will be on the field for the majority of the season.
Probably not. I mean, I haven't been drafting him. And plus, like you were just saying, you're still paying a premium for this guy. You know, I don't get it. I mean, look at these stats. I mean,
right.
It's crazy. Week 12, 31.5. Week 13, didn't play. Week 14, a 2. Week 15, 1.6. And week 16, didn't play.
Yeah.
And you know who owns him? Monroeville Zombies. Let me tell you something. He didn't win the league because of Jordan
not.
Reed on his team.
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons why Monroe.
That was one of them.
So the rebuttal to that is, Pierre Garçon is not walking through that door. DeSean Jackson is not walking through that door. I thought Josh Doctson was going to be pimped up quite a bit among high-stakes players. I haven't really heard a whole lot of great stuff being talked about Josh Doctson.
He's kind of a sleeper guy, I think, Doctson.
Yeah, and then you have Jameson Crowder, and then not a whole lot else on that offense.
Not yet.
Okay.
We'll see who they draft.
If they draft anybody as a difference maker in that offense, I think they should be looking at – I would say they should be looking at running back because you have Fat Rob Kelly in there right now, who is just sort of a guy. Matt Jones, who I think they've given up on, and not a whole lot else. You have invested a first-round pick in a receiver. Jamison Crowder we know is good, and Jordan Reed we know is good. So to me, the missing link is – and if they keep Cousins, the missing link is a running back.
Yeah. How do you pronounce this guy's name? Scott?
I think McGlowan.
McGlowan?
Yeah.
So they got rid of him. But supposedly, this is hilarious, they've kept like all his information, like all this work that he had done up until this point.
Oh, my God,
because,
really?
Yeah, because they're so stupid that they don't know how to do as good of a job as he does. They're probably using his board from whatever. So I'll trust their drafting this time because they're still using this guy's
No, but here's what I'll say.
Beyond that, I'm giving up.
We've all followed the story of what was going on. This is not a new thing that he was going to be ousted, okay?
Yeah.
So maybe he replaced the real information.
Yeah, I hope he did.
With the fake information.
Well, he was bombed on, like, Jagerbomb or something one night.
Let me tell you something. This Corey Clement guy for the Badgers, nobody's on him. He's a sneaky first-round pick. Like, oh, my God, we Good thing we kept this around. Redskins select Corey Clement, 20th overall in NFL draft.
What do you think? It's St. Patrick's Day. What do you think his blood alcohol content is?
I really don't want to get into the whole alcohol aspect of. I think we've touched on it enough. We wish him.
I've enjoyed it.
Scott McGlone.
He doesn't even think he has a problem. He's fine. He's a hard social drinker, kind of like that golfer, Daly.
John Daly.
Yeah. They're fine.
Let me tell you who is a hardened tight end with all his years in the league, Jason Witten. Somehow, again, a tight end one as the number 9 tight end last year. Is he going to keep that up with Prescott? I think he might.
Why not? And speaking of guys that actually are 45, is that how old he is?
I said he was 58.
Okay.
Or 59, but I don't remember what I said.
34.
Yeah. God, I'm older than old man Witten. Isn't that insane?
15th year.
And he's got more hair than me, which is really... anyway, so Jason Witten going forward, you get what you pay for, and you probably get a discount on him. Dennis Pitta restructured, the number 10 tight end, so he will be with Baltimore next year. But, I mean, so much of his value was catching ball. I mean, he was probably higher in FFPC format because he caught 80-plus passes last year.
He was very hit or miss.
I don't know if he was hit or miss. I mean, he had the 1 week of 30. And then he had a 19 and a 50. But if you look at the other, I mean, they're all between like 4 and 12. Like, it's just
sucks.
Yeah, I'm saying it's not great, but he's consistently underwhelming.
All right, whatever.
Zach Ertz, we think, is going to take a step back this year with Torrey Smith and Alshon Jeffrey in the fold in Philly.
Right.
And I think he's being overdrafted right now.
Can we look at some of the guys who actually had good averages, like Zach Miller, Gronk, and Eifert? Let's talk about them a little bit.
Okay, I don't want to talk about Gronk. Let's talk about Zach Miller. Where did he
so
he just saw a shade under 12 a game. Okay.
Yeah, in 12 a game. And now he was legitimately doing very well.
And so that would have put him easily in the top 10. Probably
he would have been ninth.
Like, okay, ninth. So Zach Miller, but again, we brought it up at the top of the show. They brought in some new pass catchers in that offense. So that might affect Zach Miller this year as well. Who's the other guy you want to talk about besides Miller and Gronk?
Eifert.
Oh, yeah, Eifert.
Eifert averaged 12.3. Now, but let's bookend this. The first week he came back at 1.9.
But his snaps were way down that game, so yeah, I think we can throw that out.
Exactly. And then the last week, when apparently he did the same thing, 1.9. So he scored like 96 points in effectively 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games. That's a big number. I mean, Eifert.
Yeah, that's 16 a game.
I mean, if he's healthy, that's a big number.
That would have been number one if you could have kept that up all
exactly.
season. Problem is, Eifert rarely does.
He almost never does. I mean, he's like he's Samuel Jackson, Unbreakable. He breaks like nothing. But he'll be cheaper than Reed, right? For sure.
Yeah,
right?
But not much cheaper than Reed, though.
I'll take a look at Eifert. I would consider him. Okay. I feel like this might be his Kyle Rudolph year where he actually stays healthy.
What do you make of the Patriots getting Dwayne Allen from the Colts and then the Colts re-signing Jack Doyle as their number one tight end? I heard something God, who said that? Somebody said something crazy about Jack Doyle. They'd rather have him than Martellus Bennett this year.
Really?
I mean, maybe it's not crazy, but it seemed like I had to go back and listen to it. I can't remember what podcast I was listening to. It was either Football Guys or the ESPN one.
I mean, I guess I don't get it. I mean, I'm of the opinion. I'm guessing Indianapolis isn't a draft a tight end. I don't think he's not talented enough. I don't know why Luck didn't throw him all that much last year. I mean, he had a couple of decent games.
Yeah, I mean, Allen was in the fold last year. Not that
Allen
crushed
it. I mean,
Allen's
more of a blocking tight end. Yeah. First of all, I think Luck's overrated. I think Doyle's just overrated because Luck's overrated. They both have beards. They both suck.
It all comes down to...
Well, you have a beard, too. Sorry.
I don't have a beard. I just haven't shaved. I guess we can't...
They have a poorly groomed beard. I mean, their facial hair is really bad.
Yeah, it's really bad with Luck. We can't really do a tight ends in review for 2016 show with the HSFFR without bringing up Kobe Fleener.
right.
Well, I went back and looked at the I Got Five on it. We did not place one I Got Five on Corey Fleener bet last year, which is insane to me.
Wow.
He finishes.
I left a lot of money on the table there.
Yeah, he finishes as the number 16 tight end playing in all 16 games. This is some
dreadful.
Really, really bad numbers. A 1, a 4, a 4, a 6, a 7, a 7, 4. His top, well, he had a 23.9 and a 25.6. And I remember on the show after he had the 25.6, you're like, oh, maybe you were right about him, Balky. And then, like clockwork, fell off the face of the earth after that.
Yeah, I was getting no targets. What do you think? Okay, before you kind of finish up, what do you think about
this will be the last one we talk about.
San Diego tight ends. We have Gates and Henry still.
Matthew Berry, again, to bring up the ESPN Fantasy Focus podcast, he was at the NFL Combine talking to a Chargers coach or a Chargers beat writer or something, and you know, none of these guys can ever say who it is. Cecil Lammy's the king of that, by the way. The most I can say is I can't really say, like, then
hey,
don't
Cecil,
say it.
No one gives a crap.
Yeah, so anyway, I wouldn't say that, but
I don't give a crap.
Okay, you don't give a crap. So the Chargers said, or this guy that he was talking to said that they were making a concerted effort last year to get Gates that tight end record, and he
right.
tied it.
Yeah.
So he's obviously going to get it at some point this year, but they're not going to game plan for it. They're not going to try to get him the record. It's just going to happen organically. Mm-hmm. So that means good news for Hunter Henry and Dave, sophomore this year. So you look at Hunter Henry really taking a leap forward in that offense. I know you like Tyrell Williams. But Hunter Henry, I think, is a sneaky guy. Now, the problem with him is tight end premium format like the FFPC, he's a type of guy that could ascend up, and you're drafting
pricey.
Too much on the upside.
Yeah, he'll be a little pricey because everyone's drafting on the come. He's got the alliteration,
right.
So he's got kind of the cool name going on.
To me, I feel like he does finish as a top 10 tight end this year, but I don't think he's in the top 5.
I don't know if he gets the top 10. I don't know if he'll quite get there. I think next year he's really going to be.
Oh, it's a lock in 2018.
Oh, Henry in 2018. Watch
yeah.
out, folks.
Watch out.
Except for that and all the other tight ends and rookies this year are going to be awesome.
And that's true. Ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for our show this St. Patrick's Day evening. What a great show it was. Thanks to Darren Liebrens, the 750, number 24 champ. Appreciated him coming on. 3-time FFPC 750 champ. Very cool of him to pop out on. I thank Dave Gerzak, the FFPC, Rob Bryce, and of course you for hanging out with us. Next week, you are gone.
What?
You are gone next week,
I
believe.
Where are you going
to be? I don't know, but not here.
Oh, you're right.
Co-hosting with me, 2016 Big Payback number one runner-up, Patrick Daly, will be on the show with me next week, so that'll be fun. We'll get into some more redraft stuff as well as Dynasty. Pick up a Dynasty Orphan, satellites all available. Football Guys Players Championship, myffpc.com. Scott Engel and the Fantasy Hall of Fame Hour is up next on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Your weekend officially starts now.
This has been another episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by myffpc.com that was broadcast live and heard around the world. Eric and Dave will be back next week with more analysis, interviews, and advice from a guest much smarter than they are. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk with you again next week. I gotta go, cause I got me a drop top, and if I hit the switch, I can make the ass drop. Had to stop at a red light, looking in my mirror, not a jacker in sight. And everything is... You know, I hope you don't lose your radio chops, because I think you're off the next 2 weeks. Holy cow, really? Yeah, when you come back, season finale. All right, I'll try and pay attention. All right, good. We need to be on our game for that. Good call. The next 2 weeks, I will obviously be phoning it in and just not even trying. Well, I figured as much. As per usual.